Now, here's the thing about fear. I think oftentimes we hear people say, be fearless, right? Be a fearless innovator, be a fearless leader, be a fearless entrepreneur. Well, I think that's bullshit. Here's the thing. Your feelings of fear will never go away. It's hardwired into you. So when you're over there trying to be fearless and it doesn't work because it's actually not possible, you then feel like a failure because you can't be fearless. And then we look at these other people and we go, oh my gosh, they're so fearless. Like they've got something I don't. No, they're just practiced at pushing through fear, at navigating it, sometimes even leveraging it to give them the fuel to keep going. They're not fearless. Nobody's actually fearless. But what they have figured out is how to leverage that fear, how to push through it, and practicing it, right? The more we push through our fears, actually the easier it becomes. The more we try and experiment and we have wins and we have losses, the easier it becomes to manage through those fears. Hey, hey, Tamara here with another episode for you. This is the place to be if you are looking to perform at your peak, elevate your game. If you are an ordinary person like me, like a lot of us in the community, looking to do extraordinary things. So today I want to dive into the three factors that could be holding you back from being that strong everyday innovator. Because here's the thing, it's not if you innovate, it's how. We have proven time and time again through neuroscience and what the brain does and how it activates. I have proven in LaunchTrade with our everyday innovator, our assessment that tells you your natural, powerful, and unique style of innovation, that all of us have the ability. And by the way, if you're still not convinced, let me just share this one thing with you, because when I think of it this way, it makes me realize how all of us are innovators, but a lot of us have things that are holding us back from just unleashing it into the world, from practicing it. Think of it this way. When you look at kids, don't you look at them and go, oh my God, they're so creative. They're so imaginative. Look at that game that they've made up. Look at that thing that they've created with the cardboard box. Look at that solution they've created, right? Kids are creative across the board. Yet we look at adults, at ourselves, and we go, some are creative or innovative, whichever word you want to use, and some aren't. Well, how is that? How is it if we're all innovators, creative beings in the beginning of our life, why is it that we then aren't later on? It makes no sense to me. Well, here's the thing. It's because we unlearn, right? We train ourselves out of being innovators. And there's a lot of things with life that start to hold us back, baggage that we start to carry on along the way. So I want to share with you three of those pieces of baggage so that hopefully you can shed them, or maybe even open up the suitcase and put new positive, innovative baggage inside, packages inside, whatever you call it, whatever your laundry is. All right. So it's this. We're going to talk about fear, not in the way you may think, comfort, and constraint. In our research, we have found that these are the three things that hold us back. And the challenge is over time, when you start to buy into these things, you start to believe that being an innovator isn't for you. In fact, you train yourself out of your natural innovation strengths. Go back to that kids versus adults conversation we were just having. What happens is over time, because we stop using those muscles in our brain, because we stop engaging, stop believing, they become weak. So then when we do try to jump into being an innovator, it feels exhausting. And what does that do? Well, that only validates that we aren't innovators. Like, well, it's not me. I'm not the innovator. It's Susie down the hall. And then the internal chatter starts to kick in and it's squelching your internal compass that keeps pointing to a more innovative path, but you keep knocking it off because life and fear and comfort and constraint get in the way. And it's, like I said, it's been my experience that this internal chatter, this things that keeps knocking us off our natural internal compass manifests itself in these three things: fear, comfort, and constraint. So let's talk about them. Let's start with fear. Now, fear shows up in a lot of different ways. Fear of failure, fear of looking stupid, fear of the consequences of that failure, fear of the unknown. Oh my gosh, the fear list is long. So my question to you is, What do you fear? Is it looking stupid? Is it being a failure? Is it the consequences of your job? Is it not looking worthy? Fear is very real. It's a primal response that your brain uses to keep you from getting hurt. So back in the caveman days, fear is what made you perk up when there was a rustle in the bushes, right? It could be a tiger coming to eat you. The challenge is, in today's modern world, fear plays tricks on you. It keeps you tied down to status quo. Our minds manufacture false fears that unnecessarily put us into fight, flight, or freeze mode all the time. Almost 500 years ago, Michael de Montaigne, and I hope I said his name right, I think he said it best. My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which have never happened. I think that's a lot of fear. A lot of our fear is based on anticipation of what we think is going to go wrong. It's actually not based on experience, data, or even what's possible. It's based on this anticipation, this worry that rises to the top for us. That means most of what you fear, right? That negative response, this epic failure, being perceived as not worthy, never actually comes to reality. It's just the noise. It's your internal chatter that is holding you back. Now, here's the thing about fear. I think oftentimes we hear people say, be fearless, right? Be a fearless innovator, be a fearless leader, be a fearless entrepreneur. Well, I think that's bullshit. Here's the thing. Your feelings of fear will never go away. It's hardwired into you. So when you're over there trying to be fearless and it doesn't work because it's actually not possible, you then feel like a failure because you can't be fearless. And then we look at these other people and we go, oh my gosh, they're so fearless. Like they've got something I don't. No, they're just practiced at pushing through fear, at navigating it, sometimes even leveraging it to give them the fuel to keep going. They're not fearless. Nobody's actually fearless. But what they have figured out is how to leverage that fear, how to push through it, and practicing it, right? The more we push through our fears, actually the easier it becomes. The more we try and experiment and we have wins and we have losses, the easier it becomes to manage through those fears. So I want you to forget being fearless and just know, hey, fear is part of human design. It's perfectly natural. The challenge is, right, when we live in a sustained place of fear, like in the modern world, it tends to start to navigate. Actually, let me say it differently. It tends to dictate the choices we make, the actions we take, and it forces us into the box, into our comfort zone, into standing still over and over again. So when you think about fear, I don't want your goal to be to eliminate fear and be fearless. No, 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 not at all. It doesn't work. But I do want you to unlock that innovative mindset you need to embrace and push through it. This is why being an everyday innovator is so important, because there's two things that are gonna come out of this gonna help you manage through fear. And like I said, maybe even harness it. Number one is that innovative mindset means that you know, when you're an everyday innovator, you know that it's possible to figure it out. You have the resources to navigate around the brick wall, under the brick wall, through the brick wall, whatever that fear is, you know that you're gonna figure out how to deal with it, and maybe not in the status quo way. So you have the confidence and the tools to push through it. And then on top of it, you're gonna practice. When you understand fear, you can actually start to practice pushing through it, taking that action, making that decision, speaking up in that meeting. And like I said, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. The fear doesn't go away, but you get used to the feeling of it and you know how to manage it. So you have the confidence, the tools, the belief, and the mindset, and then you have the practice. That's how we're going to deal with fear. It's why, by the way, in two places. First of all, our digital magazine, our Everyday Innovators Digital Magazine, is a monthly magazine that you get online. It's part of the reason why in every one of those magazines, we put an exercise for you. In fact, we have a PDF download. No other magazine does that. I'm really proud of this. We have a PDF download for you to do an exercise that's going to help you find those innovative solutions, help you unearth those opportunities so that you can start pushing through the things that are holding you back. And those exercises range in a lot of different ways. September is one that we just released. It was follow frustration. It's about turning those things that frustrate you and like put you into fight, flight, or freeze and just kind of keep you in place, but actually turning those into solutions. So that practice matters. It's why in our online academy, this is our global community of innovators who come together every month for two really big things. One is our innovation jam sessions, and that is 90 minutes of roll up your sleeve and practice. And oh my gosh, what an incredible place to practice without risk. So if you've got a challenge you're working on, an opportunity you want to go after, but you're still in that kind of fear place, what our group does, which is so awesome, is when we come together, I bring the exercise, the expertise, the facilitation, but then you go into these breakouts with these other brilliant everyday innovators and you mastermind around the exercises I show you how to do. And what's amazing about that is what I've seen is people walk in with a real lack of confidence of, I don't know how to solve this, or I don't know what to do with this. I'm afraid to tackle this in my job because of XYZ, or I don't know how to go after this idea. I want to leap and be an entrepreneur. And they come out of these 90-minute sessions with the confidence to tackle it and nuggets of ideas to actually go after it. It is so cool. And so the other part, I think the one I didn't mention is the live Q&A. That's the other thing we have in there again, because we don't want you to be stuck, right? Fear gets us stuck. So if we can at least throw out some Q&A, have a conversation about it, answer those things that are holding you back, you can push forward. So again, to close out fear, it's not about eliminating fear. It's about harnessing it. It's about leveraging that innovative mindset, about being that everyday innovator so that you can embrace it and push through it. So I hope I give you a little bit of a different way to think about fear. Now let's go to comfort. And comfort is a real tricky one because I think comfort is subtle. We don't even realize it because it feels safe and easy. And here's what I found. For a lot of us, a lot of the times, it's easier to stay where we are in life than to shift something and make it different. Comfort is familiar. Because here's the thing. Even if you don't like the situation you're in, at least you know it and it doesn't rock the boat. What's that old phrase? Better the devil you know. I think that's comfort talking. I think it's a horrible phrase. That's actually not even true. Maybe it's not better, but it's easier to stay in the things that you know. So do me a favor, just for a second, hit pause. And I want you to think about your work in your life. How often do you choose to go to a restaurant simply because you could recite the menu back to the waitress and maybe they're holding your table or you always have the same table you go to? Do you ever hold back from those innovative solutions, saying them out loud, or maybe even saying yes to it, because it might mean having to challenge yourself to do something new, something that doesn't feel as comfortable. Perhaps you think, oh, well, this will be too much work, or I don't even know how I'd implement that, right? That is comfort chatter talking. It's comfort talk. It's warm, it's supportive, and it keeps you from growing into your full potential. You know, I think that the phrase is super cliche, but I think it's also true that like life starts outside your comfort zone, or, you know, great ideas are outside your comfort zone. It's cliche, but it's real. So where are you letting comfort hold you back? Take a second and really think about that. Now, if you are in my community, you may have already joined some of our 10-minute bursts of innovation. That's our Monday morning burst. It's like a kickstart of innovation to your week. It's like 10 to 20 minutes. We dig into one topic. I think sometimes we do follow a frustration. I've done mindset ones. We do tools. People love it because it's a way to just reframe the week before you even get started. So one of the first ones I did was on this topic of fear, comfort, and constraint. And a girlfriend of mine texts me. Her name is Holly. She's a grants and contracts manager who is an imaginative inquisitive. Now, if you don't know what that is, let me just pause and say our proprietary research-based innovation quotient edge assessment tells you your style of innovation, how you naturally innovate. It gives you a glimpse into your how brain works so that you can do more of it and really dial up that incredible superpower that you have of being an innovator that might be a little bit dormant right now. So there's 9 triggers of ways we innovate. We all have a combination, a top 2 that are our most powerful. These are our wellspring of innovation. So for Holly, it's imaginative, inquisitive. But this is what she texted me that I thought was so powerful. She said, I'm gonna read this. I'm so bored in my role and ready for something new, but comfort keeps me from applying to other positions. And we're currently without a supervisor, so the team comes to me with all the questions. I know most of them, but I just recognize that I do, I know most of them, but I just recognize that I do a little fear chatter because I can hear them in their heads like, why is she telling me to do? What is she telling me to do? I think a lot of us can relate to her text, right? What she's saying here is that comfort, even though she's qualified, has kept her from applying for these new positions. She knows her job. She's comfortable with it. It doesn't release her fears of feeling inexperienced. So that chatter and that comfort keeps her in place. I think a lot of us can relate to her text. Comfort and fear help us play it safe in a subtle but powerful way across our lives. So where is that chatter that's holding you back? All the reasons why you shouldn't pursue that new job, speak up in that meeting, launch your own company, whatever it is, where is that chatter really comfort tying you down to where you are today? What I want you to do out of this section, out of comfort, is I want you to think about all the excuses to not do that thing that you really know you want to do. And you know that thing, by the way, right? In fact, it's probably already popped up in your head. We all know it. We can feel it in our hearts. But I want you to write down all those excuses, and I want you to think about why none of those excuses really matter, and how I want you to recognize them for what they are, which is just comfort talking. Then on the other side, I want you to write down all the reasons you should go for it. I think we got to be more in love with courage and that feeling of satisfaction when we push through than with our comfort. And when we do that, we push past it. Okay, so let's talk about the last one, which is constraint. And constraint shows up in a lot of different ways. So let me start by sharing a story with you about an external constraint. Also shows up internally. So with the external, so Tina, she's an everyday innovator in our community. She took a job at a healthcare system. She even, by the way, took a pay cut because she was so excited to take her years of experience in marketing and strategy and apply those skills to something meaningful, which was exceptional healthcare for children. So this woman had risen to the corporate ladder in marketing and strategy, and she was super excited, like I said, even with a pay cut, to go apply it in an industry that she really cared about. So when she started her job, as you can imagine, she had these huge dreams of implementing meaningful programs that would expand the reach of this hospital and children they serve. So she recognized that these programs would require some adjustment in how the hospital thought about and managed the department. But I knew Tina, she never shied away from a good challenge. And in interviewing for the job, leadership gave her the verbal thumbs up to innovate. In fact, they did it over and over again. That's why they hired her. They kept saying, we want you to push us. We want you to drive innovation. Like, we are asking you to poke the bear. Well, Tina immediately went to work. She worked quickly to present her ideas to her department. And get this, her colleagues' immediate reactions were skeptical, but she expected some resistance to start. You don't go in as a, you know, rocking the boat, knowing that you're not going to get some people going, whoa, but hold on. But here's the rub. As time went on, she found herself standing up against the brick walls of not now, too risky, not how we usually do it. Now's not the right time. One of my favorites, by the way. She just kept hitting them over and over again. The constraints of the system and the culture wouldn't budge and were wearing on her. If you're that person, just take a deep breath for me for a moment. It's exhausting to constantly be pushing against the system. Over time, she found herself less enthusiastic. She found herself less excited to go to work. She found herself continually thinking, well, why bother? And you know, every now and again, she'd bring up her innovative ideas to see if the tenor had changed, but she'd find herself facing those brick walls over and over again. So feeling, as you can imagine, totally beat down by the constraints, Tina left her position. They lost an incredible talent who would have helped them move the needle forward because the external constraints, the system, the culture she was in, wouldn't budge. Now, if you're in that situation, there's a couple of things I want you to think about with constraints. Number one is, how can you focus on the champions that can help you create a ripple effect out? Tina and I had a long conversation after, and one of the things that we talked about is, you know, one of the mistakes she made in that was A, not vetting out how willing they were to innovate in the beginning. Like, what were these constraints that she was going to be up again. If she had been better prepared, she might have tackled some things a little bit differently. But also, she said, I tried to go it alone. Like, I was on the mountaintop waving my flag. She said, I should have brought some champions along with me who knew the system, who people who were influencers in the company who would have helped me move it forward. So if that's you dealing with external constraints, first of all, they're real. I'll never pretend that they're not. They are manageable, but you got to know what you're getting into. And then you got to find those advocates, those champions are going to help you push forward. So that's an example to me of an external constraint. It's exhausting over time. And it is absolutely our responsibility as everyday innovators to try to push through it. But I just do want to say that I feel you. I get it. I've been there myself. I think Tina's experience really brings to life how frustrating it is and how important it is to understand the constraints of the system. The other thing I like to tell people, if this is you who are dealing with constraints, is if you've got a big behemoth that you're trying to deal with and you want to make change and you know change is possible and it's the right thing to do, I would say find the small thing that they can say yes to. I would say, and Tina and I've talked about this, that one of the challenges she faced is she tried to go really big, really fast. Like, okay, we're here, right? We're way over here. We're going to go way over here because this is where we should be. In those systems, what I find works best as that everyday innovator trying to force a little bit of change is to actually start with the small thing. What's the tiny thing that they can absolutely say yes to? It's easy for them to say yes to, whoever they are. That easy thing. And then over time, all those little yeses get you to that big one you're trying to make. Sometimes we got to make small steps. Now, here's the thing about constraint. Some constraints can actually fuel innovation because they force you to think differently and do more with less. But continual heavy constraints will snuff out innovation fast. They will wear down even the most resilient in us. So if you've ever found yourself in that moment of, I'm beat down, I have no more to give, I want you to ask yourself, is it the constraints of the system holding you back? And if you're on the other side of that and you see the people around you being beat down, I would ask yourself, am I causing this? Am I the constraint holding people back? Now, let's flip it for a second and talk about internal. Sometimes constraints show up as self-created routines and boundaries that we don't even realize we've put on ourselves. They're constraints, that they're shackles that we've put ourselves into. I mean, why shake up your routine when it's clearly working for you? Why move the boundaries if you can see them clearly? So a few kind of comments up I mentioned about, like, hey, do you go to the same restaurant as a sign of comfort? So let me share a little personal story with you to bring this to life. So my kids and I have our absolute favorite go-to restaurant. It's this dingy Greek diner that we've been eating Saturday lunches at since my kids were in high chairs. They're now got just about 13 and 17. We've been going there forever, right? We know the menu. We know the wait staff. They bring us our drinks before we even sit down. They know what we're going to order every time. We love the place. We know when to go, when it's not too busy. I mean, it's just, right? It is part of our routine. It's like a given that we're going to go there after a swim meet, after walking the park, after walking the dog, after waking up late, whatever it is, right? That's Saturday. So one Saturday, my kids just weren't feeling the standard gyro salad, which I love, by the way. I can't get enough of it. So my oldest, Liam, turned to me and said, hey, let's try that new restaurant down the street. It looks interesting. So you would think I would go, yeah, all right, sure. If we're not feeling, let's try something new. I responded with a shocking amount of resistance. I said, let's just do the usual. At least we know it's going to be good. You know, I don't want to risk having a bad lunch. Oh my gosh, what was I talking about? My oldest responded with, is one bad lunch really a big risk, Mom? I paused and then I suddenly realized what I was doing. I was staying in my warm, soft, fuzzy comfort zone over one simple lunch. My fear chatter, my internal constraints made this idea of trying something new as being really risky. What? I'm like, that's kind of, now that I say it out loud, that I'm sharing the story, it's actually kind of ridiculous, right? And this Saturday routine that I loved so much had turned into this self-imposed constraint. Like, I couldn't try this new restaurant. I mean, was I doing this in other aspects of my life and work? It really got me thinking, because all he was saying was, let's go to a new restaurant. And I'm over here like, whoa, hey, I mean, we know the menu, we know the people, we sit in the same booth every time. That's a safer way to go. We can't possibly risk a bad meal at a new restaurant. And also, by the way, what if it was great? It got me thinking, as I said, was I doing this in other places in my work and life? And I'm going to ask you that same question. Are you doing that in other places in your work and life? Do you have self-imposed routines, habits? By the way, I heard this amazing stat. I've seen this time and time again. 96% of our thoughts are the same as they were yesterday. Well, no wonder it's hard to break out of them, right? If we have negative chatter and we have to break out of them, we have to actively do it. And then we have these self-imposed routines, habits, thoughts, 96% of them, that keep us in that same place. So guess what? We went to the new restaurant, and while it wasn't knock your socks off, like delicious, it was good enough. But I think what's more important than that is it was good enough. And oh, by the way, so it wasn't great, right? So my risk, the fear of it not being as good came true. But guess what? Was that really that big of a deal? No, it isn't. It goes back to what I said about what we worry about often never comes true, right? Is speaking up in that meeting and voicing your opinion really going to lead to the consequence you think it is? Probably not. Is leaping and starting your own business really going to lead to this abject failure and like being shunned from society? No, probably not. In fact, for that one, I could say most definitely not. Most people, whether you win or lose, most people admire the fact that you went for it. Trust me, I've been on the failure side of businesses too. You'd be amazed at what people come out of the woodworks to say how impressed they are with you for trying. Now, I would rather you succeed, obviously, whatever you do. But you get my point, right? This constraint holds us back. Now, I can't eliminate the chatter in your head, but I can help you put it into place. And the first step in showing your chatter, sorry, let me say that part again. In fact, if you could edit that little line out again, this last part from I can't eliminate the chatter. So Sam, edit that out and edit out the video too, okay? Okay, so constraint. So here's what I want you to do for this. I want you to try a new restaurant. I want you to speak up. I want you to do something different. I want you to look at the challenge you're facing with a different perspective. I want you to get out of the self-imposed routines and habits. And if you are faced with more external constraint, I want you to think about, like we talked about, those expectations. What are the small things people can say yes to, and who are the champions that can help you move it forward? All right, we've dug in deep in this podcast. We've talked about fear, comfort, and constraint. I think the first step in getting over them is understanding them and recognizing them in yourself. And you know what's so powerful about this? In fact, Suzanne, who's one of our everyday innovators, said it to me best. She said, you know, Tamara, what's great about this is, she said, now that I know that it's fear, comfort, and constraint talking, that's my internal chatter. She said, now that I know when I'm having a moment, it doesn't run me, I run it. She said, it no longer dictates how I act, what I say. She said, I recognize it for what it is. I take a moment and then I move forward in the way I want to move forward, not the way the internal chatter does. If we're not careful, that internal chatter dictates our life. It dictates our behaviors, our thoughts, our actions. We need to get away from that because it's not serving us. It doesn't serve you, does it? Staying in a place of fear, comfort, and constraint, making decisions based on that, I mean, I think it's almost obvious in how I say it, isn't it? It only holds you back. So again, you can't eliminate those things. Like, comfort's always going to pull you. Fear is hardwired into us. Constraints are either around us or things that we create. But when we understand them, I said, we can push through them and sometimes even harness them to our benefit. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. Hey, I really encourage you to go check out our new Everyday Innovators Digital Magazine. This is chock full of mindset and tools and everyday innovator stories, people like you and me. It has the latest kind of articles on innovation and what's happening in the world out there for you to stay razor sharp. Because I know you don't have the time to do all the research. Neither do I. I get it. But we do it for you so that you have kind of these things to go to your meeting and be like, oh my God, did you hear about this new robot that helps elderly get dressed? Or have you heard about these labor stats that are saying there's a shift in the marketplace? those type of nuggets, having all more of those dots in your head, first of all, makes you more innovative because you're collecting more dots to pull from, but it also helps you have an innovative voice in your meeting. And then on top of that, right, we're going to give you the videos and the tools and the stories. It's an interactive experience. I'm going to put the link in the show notes, of course. Go check it out.